This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
All right. I asked my wife earlier why she doesn't give me that level of applause when I come through the house. She just looked at me. Hey, it's great to be with you today. Thank you for being here. It's exciting as we get ready to get into this new year, the things that God has for us. And my message this morning is entitled, The Reason You're Unique. So I want you to turn to the person next to you and look at them and say, hey, you're unique. Some of you may not have believed that. Hopefully by the end of this message, you believe it. Hey, there's a fun little story about an elderly couple who, unfortunately, the husband wasn't feeling very well, so he had the wife take him to the doctor, and doctor checked him out, looked him over, and doctor ran over to the wife and said, ma'am, I need you to come with me real quick. And he said, ma'am, your husband's in big trouble. In fact, he's going to die unless you do three things. The wife said, okay, wow, I wasn't expecting that. Tell me, you know, what do I have to do? He said, well, here's the first thing. He said, when your husband wakes up in the morning, I want you to cook him a beautiful breakfast, and I want you to bring it to him in bed. Then I want you to tell him five things that you love about him. And the wife was just like, okay. He said, here's the second thing. When he comes home from work, what I want you to do is, I want you to fix him his favorite meal, his favorite dinner. And I want you to tell him that as soon as he eats, you're going to clean up, you're going to do everything for him, and encourage him to go into the living room and watch football and sports all night long. My wife was just like, okay. And he said, here, but the third thing is the most important. He said, once he's done watching sports and you're done cleaning up, he said, I want you to go over to him and I want you to give him an hour-long massage. And after you're done massaging him, I want you to walk around, I want you to look him in the eyes, and I want you to tell him, honey, it is an honor to be married to you. What can I possibly do to serve you? Your wish is my command. My wife just kind of looked at him like, okay. So they began to walk down, the husband and the wife, and the husband was a little confused because the doctor didn't say anything to him. So as soon as they got in the car, the husband asked the wife, he said, honey, what did the doctor talk to you about? He didn't say anything to me. And what did he tell you? And the wife just looked at him and smiled, and he said, honey, doctor said you're going to die, all right? How many women that would be your response? You don't have to raise your hands. Okay. Pretty unique response, right? You know, when I think about the word unique, I think about actually my brother and I growing up as kids. And this last week, I got a chance to hang out with my parents and my sisters, and we have a pretty large family. We hung out in Destin, Florida. I'm a Destin fan, love the clear water, and even though it was freezing cold, we got a chance to connect. And I don't know if you're like this, but with my family, anytime we come together, we tend to relive like these stories in these moments. Do you do the same thing? And what I found is most of these moments involve my brother and I getting in trouble, right? You have a picture of my brother and I think we were cute here. Yeah, this is the cute stage, okay? This is the cute stage before we turn too naughty. And we're always talking about how mischievous we were. And my brother and I were unique, especially when it came to punishments. We always had a unique ability to find a way to get out of punishments. I don't know how many of you can relate to that, but if you can't, it's probably because we're unique. And I'll give you an example of this. My parents believed in something called a spanking, okay? For millennial parents, that's actually when you take a paddle and you smack your... Okay, that's just a fun little note there. But we got spanked all the time. I mean, I'm talking all the time. We get spanked for almost everything. And my mom was terrible at spanking. My dad was the one who, if you're getting spanked, like you were in big trouble. My dad was actually a racquetball player. For those that know racquetball, you know that motion tends to kind of correspond with spanking, which we were in big trouble. But my brother and I were pretty unique kids, so we always found a way to adapt to it. So we eventually what we realized was we could put on multiple pairs of shorts, and my dad didn't realize. So we put on like four or five pairs of shorts. I heard an amen over here. All right, I like it. And eventually we actually got up to 9 pairs of shorts before my dad realized, okay? And the way he realized was he went to spank us and the paddle actually bounced off, all right? Because there's so much padding there. And my parents, you know, they ended up finding out. Then we got something called bear bun spankings. And you can imagine, the full moon comes out and you get a whap, all right? And it is pain for days, all right? That was not fun, but again, you know, my brother and I, we were pretty unique kids. We were always adapting. And my parents adapted as well, though, unfortunately. And we transitioned out of the spanking, and they started locking us in our room when we got in trouble. Anybody experience that one? They get locked in the room? Not many of you? All right, I guess I was the only one traumatized. All right, good to know. So we would get locked in our room, and to make it even worse, we weren't allowed to play with our toys or anything. So we're just in this random room, and you're just by yourself. You're trying to figure out, what do I do, all right? And... And now my brother and I, again, we were pretty creative. We're pretty unique. So we found a way to make it look like we were in the room without being in the room. So we'd take our pillows, we put them on the bed, and we form like a fake body. You ever do this? And we put the comforter over the fake body, and then we would actually go out the window and do whatever we wanted, right? We go play with the friends. And my mom would come in. It took her a while to figure out on that one. And she came in one day, though. She came in and kind of smacked the, you know, pillow, and then she realized, and then she brought us in. Well, you know, she adapted, and she actually got my dad to screw the window shut, all right? So we couldn't go through the windows anymore. But again, me being a pretty unique kid, I said, oh, that just means I need to try something else. So I actually decided the right move to make was to drill a hole in the wall. That way I could get through the wall. And no joke, I drilled a hole through the drywall, took out the insulation, and we grew up in Florida. We had a wood house. So I just started drilling through the house. You know, that way I could get through the house whenever I wanted and come back in. And, you know, when I put my dresser against the wall, one day my mom was vacuuming. She saw some white stuff on the ground, so she vacuumed it. She moved the dresser. She sees a hole. And you can imagine how much in trouble I got. And actually, I got a bear bun spanking from that one too, all right? But the reason I say that is we're pretty unique kids, but I'm not the only one here that's unique. Maybe when it comes to our level of mischief, I don't know, maybe some of you, you know, my mom used to call me a hellion when I was a young kid. Some of you have heard that terminology before. But I don't believe I'm the only one unique here. In fact, what we're going to talk about today is how God created all of us unique. And it wasn't by chance. He didn't just do it for sake of doing it. He created every one of us unique. And the question I want to talk about today is why? Why did God choose to make us the way we are? He could have made you anyway. In fact, he could have made us look very similar to each other, could have turned us into robots if he wanted. Why did he do what he did? And it was for a very intentional reason. That's what we're going to get into today. There's a great passage of scripture in Psalm 139. And David gives us insight under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He tells us how the process in which God was involved in our lives. And this has so many applications, but I want to share this with you. Some of you may have seen this before. Let's read it together. The Message version says this: oh yes, you shaped me inside then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You are breathtaking. Yes, he is. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. Isn't that crazy? You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life, look at this, all prepared before I'd even lived one day. God created us unique. He was incredibly involved in the process. And just recently, I saw a statistic, I'll be honest with you, kind of messed with me. In fact, it kind of emotionally messed me up pretty bad, because the stat, what it said was that 87% of people will go their entire lives and never find out what their unique purpose is in life. I just want to let that simmer for a second. 87% of people will go their entire lives and never know why they're on earth, why they were created. That blew me away. You know, what blows me away even more is that this God who created us so intricate, with so much intentionality, with so much purpose, with so much uniqueness to all of us, and how we could yet live that way. You need to think about 87%. I'll put it in context. Let's see. We'll go on the fly. Da, da, da. Well, looking over here, let's take this section. This has been my favorite section so far, the last couple services. So this section over here, let's pretend you're the 13%. Look around at everybody else. That's literally what that would mean. This section would understand why they were uniquely created, but the rest of us wouldn't. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. And this morning, maybe you've wondered this before, maybe you haven't, maybe you've thought about it in a different way, but I want to tell you, God uniquely created you for a reason. In fact, I want to show you a couple of verses. Ephesians 4 tells us this. It says that each one of us has received a special gift in proportion to what Christ has given. Each one of us have received a gift. God not only uniquely designed you, but he uniquely gifted you. So when you were created, God knew exactly what he was doing. He gifted you intentionally. It's not by chance that you just so happen to be good at certain things. It's not by chance that you just happen to like certain things and dislike other things. He knew exactly what he was doing. It's not some random design. God knew exactly what he was doing when he made you. Another great passage of scripture is found in Ephesians 2. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece." Now, I don't know about you, but I don't wake up every morning feeling like a masterpiece, all right? If we can be real with each other. But all of us have the choice to live one of two ways. We can live according to how we feel, or we can live according to God's word. Every person in here has a choice. And I want to tell you, sometimes I catch myself living according to how I feel. Maybe you do too. But what God's word tells us is that we're a masterpiece. So regardless of how you feel today, God says that's who you are. You are his masterpiece. In the Latin, we talk about how we're made, the imagio Dei. We were made in the image of God. So that means we have attributes that are similar to God. It doesn't mean that we're gods. It just means that God has rubbed off on us. Boy, we were made so incredibly unique. Let's take a look at what the rest of the scripture says. It tells us this. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus. You're a new creation this morning if you've said yes to Jesus. Bible says the old is gone. New things are coming. 2019 is going to be a great year. And it says, why has he done all this? So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God has a great plan for your life. Not only did he create you unique before you were even born, not only did he gift you uniquely, but look what it says. He's got a unique plan for your life. Before you were even born, God had a plan for your life. Man, does God love us. Man, does God have an incredible plan for our lives. So as we get into this today, I want to tell you the main point for all my note takers. Here's our main point today, and I'll mention it probably several times. But it's this. We were uniquely designed to make a difference for God. That's what we see from the scripture. We were uniquely designed, why? To make a difference for God. Sometimes as we talk about this, one of the phrases that I'll use is, our design gives insight into your destiny. So if I had a hammer up here, a hammer, the way it's created, gives insight to its purpose or its use, right? It's to nail nails, you know, not attack your wife or husband or whatever. Hopefully that doesn't happen, all right? I don't know why that came to my mind, completely random, all right? My wife hasn't attacked me lately, I don't know. But if you have take a screwdriver, for example. A screwdriver was uniquely made, why? For a purpose. Sometimes we don't think about ourselves like that, but God says, hey, I had a plan for you before you were even born. You were made to make a difference. You were uniquely designed the way you are to do something that no other person can do except for you. Wow, that's a God that loves us. That's a God that created us with incredible intentionality. And there's a story in the Bible of a guy named Samson who I think gives us some pretty interesting insight into this concept. And Samson was uniquely designed to make an incredible difference for God. I want to read for you just a few verses. I'll kind of give a synopsis of the story to kind of bring the point home. But let's look at a few verses together. Here's what it tells us. It says, in those days, a man named Manoah from the tribe of Dan lived in the town of Zorah. His wife was unable to become pregnant, and they had no children. The angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and said, even though you've been unable to have children, you will soon become pregnant and give birth to a son. That's awesome. So be careful, though. You must not drink any wine or any alcoholic drink or any forbidden food. You'll become pregnant and give birth to a son. And his hair must never be cut. He'll be dedicated to God as a Nazirite from birth. He will begin to rescue Israel from the Philistines. From the very start, God had this incredible plan for Samson's life. He uniquely designed him. He was a Nazirite, wasn't allowed to cut his hair, probably would have been a great biker. He wasn't allowed to eat certain foods. He wasn't allowed to touch dead bodies, was not allowed to drink, okay? All these specific things, all this unique design. As you go into the story, what we find, and many of you are familiar with it, God gave Samson unique, literally supernatural strength. And God was doing all this for a reason. Why? Remember what the scripture said. It was for him. He was uniquely designed to make a difference. What was the difference? He was going to rescue Israel from the Philistines. God knew exactly what he was doing with Samson. And the story starts off awesome and it's great until we get to the next chapter in the very beginning. And this is where I get kind of sad because Samson, even though God had set the path for him perfectly, Samson decides to make a detour. And the Bible talks about how he marries a Philistine and he wasn't supposed to. He was supposed to stay with the Israelites and he disobeys God and his parents and everybody else and kind of decides to do his own thing. And can I tell you, there have been so many times in my life, if I'm honest, and probably you as well, where I've pretty much known what I was supposed to do, and I just kind of took my own route. You know, and you look back on those times, and it's never worth it, is it? Sometimes in those moments, you think it's worth it. You're like, oh, I'm just going to do my own thing. And then you look back, you're like, it never ends up being worth it. You know, the Bible says that sin is fun for a season, right? And many of you experience this. Some people, you know, I talk to teenagers all the time. Sin, you know, they're like, Pastor Brandon, sin can be fun. I'm like, yeah, I actually agree. Sometimes they're shocked because it's only fun for a season. Sometimes in life, what we do is we settle for happiness. When God's like, hey, you can settle for happiness. You can settle for an endorphin rush, a serotonin rush. Hey, great. Or You can choose to do things my way and experience joy. And God's desire for all of us is to experience purpose and joy, something that's meaning, something that's tangible, something that's lasting. And in Samson's life, he makes this detour, but God is so good. And the Bible actually says in Judges chapter 14 that God uses Samson's bad decision to actually bring him back around to fulfill his purpose. Only an amazing God can do that. Do you realize what that means? Even in your life and mine, when we make mistakes, God has the ability, because of his grace and his mercy and his love for us, to actually put us back on the right path. Do you realize how important that is this morning, guys? Because if you're anything like me, you're gonna make all kinds of detours in life, right? Can we be honest this morning? We're gonna make all kinds of detours. We're like, okay, God, I should be doing this. And all of a sudden, you know, we just kind of start doing our own. And God loves us so much, he brings us back. You know what God could have done with Samson? He could have been like, man, I created you so unique for a purpose and you turned your back on me, I'm done with you. But that's not the God we serve. And I hope you know that this morning. Regardless of what you've done, God says to you, hey, come on back. I got you. I love you. I haven't forgotten about you. Can't feel good to God to have, man, us turn our back on him, but he still loves us. And what Samson ends up doing throughout his life is pretty incredible. I mean, if you're familiar with the story, the guy beats guys down with his bare hands. He kills men with his hands. He literally ripped the lion open with his bare hands. He took the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 men. He lit some foxes' tails on fire and sent them through the grain of the Philistines. And I mean, this guy was no joke. I love his story because God had an incredible plan for Samson's life. Unfortunately, though, Samson got distracted again. And if you know his story, you know this one ends up turning fatal because there's a woman named Delilah. And he ends up telling her the secret of his strength. The secret of his strength was his hair. She ends up having his hair cut. And all of a sudden, he has no strength. And now this guy who has incredible purpose for his life, incredible uniqueness, the plan for his life now has been dramatically altered because he was disobedient to God. And what ends up happening is he goes into slavery and he has his eyes gouged out. And it's so sad to me when I read that story. You know, at one point, they bring Samson out and it's been a while. He's been in slavery and his hair has grown back. And he puts his hands on two pillars and he cries out to God and he basically tells God, God, I know I've messed up, but would you just use me one more time? And he pushes the pillars down of this temple that all these Philistines were in. If you know the story, temple comes down on everybody, kills all the Philistines, also kills Samson. There's a lot of things I think we can learn from that story, but I think one of the greatest things is this. God doesn't just want you to tap into your potential. He doesn't just want you to somewhat fulfill the plan for your life. He wants you to maximize it. God didn't just create you on this earth just to kind of dabble in some of the things of God. He created you to make a difference. He went through all the time and effort to make you unique, to do something that only you can do. And I think as we look into 2019, if we'll be intentional about this, we'll ask God to use us. God can use us in incredible ways. God can do great things through us. We were uniquely designed to make a difference. So I want to turn this message a little more practical, okay? Because really all this comes down to, for this next part, is you. What can you do about this? What does this mean for you? I'm going to give you three application points. And the first one is this, and you can put it up. First thing is you got to discover your design. And one of the best ways to do that is by answering this question. I have a couple other questions as well. Real quick, I'll throw this out to you. For many of you, you guys are gonna go to lunch afterwards, and I would just encourage you, take a picture on your phone, write these questions down, because these are good things to think about. These are good things to talk to your spouse about. These are good things to talk to your kids about. These are some deep questions that a lot of times we just don't make time to ask. So I'd encourage you to do that. But let's look at it. It says, what are the things that God has allowed you to be frustrated by? And maybe like, Brandon, what do you mean by that? Well, when you look at the scripture, What it literally means in the Greek is that God was actually agitating Samson or frustrating him. He was agitating Samson when it came to the Philistines. He was frustrating him when it came to the Philistines. Why? Because God knew that that was part of Samson's unique purpose. That was why he was created, to take down the Philistines. And what God will also do, and oftentimes do in our lives, is he'll agitate us. He'll frustrate us about a certain something. And when he does that, he's actually doing it for a reason. Because there's something inside of your design that he is allowing you to see. And he wants you to accomplish that purpose. I'll give you an example. I asked my wife this, and I've actually asked her this several times. And she's told me the same thing every time I asked her. Sweetheart, what frustrates you? What frustrates you, you know, when it comes to making a difference for God? What are some of the things that frustrate? Every time she said the same thing to me. She said, what frustrates me, Brandon, are when families aren't close, and when families don't don't have a tight-knit unit. Out of all the things that she could say, that's one of the things that frustrates her when she sees families not being close together and not being run in an impactful way. I asked one of my best friends the same question. He said something completely different. He said one of the things that frustrate him are when people come to church or, you know, an organization, a business, et cetera, and they don't have strong connections and relationships. You know, for me, one of the things that frustrates me is when I see people living, Christians especially, living without purpose, which is probably why half of why I'm doing this message. But all of us have something different in our lives that frustrates us. And it's something that oftentimes only you can see. Something that you're unique to. You have a unique perspective. Other people pass it by, but God has not allowed you to pass it by. It frustrates you for a reason, because you're supposed to do something about it. Let's look at a couple other questions that I think give us insight into our design. Let's look at the next one. What are you good at without having to try at? You know, for some of you, these are my, if you're a strategian in the room, I love strategians, okay? Strategians are playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. I love it. Some of you, you're strategic. You're thinking several moves ahead. And that's what God's made you good at. You don't even have to try at it. You know, for some of you, you're great when it comes to the details. Praise God. I need as many of those people in my life as possible. Detail people, all right? That is my wife. She's amazing at that. You know, for some of you, He's given you a mindset to be able to see big picture. You know, for some of you, we say there are rule makers and rule breakers, okay? I'm a rule breaker, all right? But we need rule makers, you know? For some of you, you're amazing at like policy type things. For some of you, you're amazing at, you just love kids. For others of you, you can walk into a room and you're the light of the show. You're kind of the magnet to everybody. For others of you, you're not so fond about being around large groups of people, but you love getting stuff done. You know, God created us all unique, and he did it for a reason. It gives insight into our design. Let's look at the third question. Here it is. If you had all the time and the money in the world, what would you do to make a difference for God? If God was to say, hey, I'm going to give you 50 years more of your life, okay? And during those 50 years, I'm going to give you $50 billion. I want you to make a difference for me. What would you do? And oftentimes, these are the things that give, they stir things up inside of us, don't they? They make us think a little differently. They make what's important to us and what we value all of a sudden comes out. And I'd encourage you to process those questions, to think through those questions. These are kind of some thought-provoking questions. You're probably not going to figure it all out today. But I really believe this, for the rest of our lives, if we can inch closer and understand our design more and more and more, God will be able to use us to make a difference more and more and more. Let's look at the second point. The second point is this. Once we understand our design, now we got to make a difference, but we got to practice it. We got to practice making a difference. There's a great verse in Ephesians. You can put it up. It tells us this. Because a lot of people get this whole church thing mixed up. You know, it's not your fault if you weren't growing up in church. You know, you may not know kind of what my role is and what your role is. But here's what the scripture tells us. So we're going to look at this. It says it was God, who gave gifts to people. So you're gifted, okay? Every person here is uniquely gifted. He appointed some to be apostles, others prophets, others evangelists, others to be pastors and teachers, okay? And he did all this, why? To prepare God's people for the work of Christian service, in order to be built up in the body of Christ. In other words, some people think it's the pastor's job to do all the work. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's the pastor's job to equip, to preach, to prepare you to do ministry. But notice, to prepare you. In other words, the implied idea here is that God's saying you were created for ministry. Not just to come and just listen. As amazing as this is, and as amazing we get to spend time together, God has more for you. He has more for you than just being a spectator. He created you uniquely for ministry to do something great. I want to encourage you as we get into 2019 to not be a person who thinks thinks kind of sitting on the bleachers and watching everybody else do everything, but to get involved. Remember, God uniquely designed you to do something incredible, to make a difference. So if we're just sitting on the sidelines while all this is happening, we're never fulfilling our unique purpose. But it's only when we engage into that, we begin to practice making a difference, where all of a sudden we begin to realize, okay, I like this. Hey, you can use me in this. Oh, that's definitely not how I want to be used. But hey, okay, this was interesting. You know, some of you were here when Dr. Rutland was here a couple weeks ago. And Dr. Rutland used to be the president of my university in Southeastern in Florida. And he used to say all the time, before he was the president, he was a pastor of a church in Orlando. He used to say all the time, people used to come up to him and say, hey, pastor, you know, I feel like God has called me to do this. And his response back to them would always be, that's great. What did you think when you tried it out? And they would kind of say back to him, well, I didn't try it out, but God told me. He was like, that's great. Just go try it out, you know? And oftentimes what would happen would be people would go try out a different area of serving in the church. You know, they may try out cart ministry or children's ministry or, you know, whatever it happens to be. And they'd come back to him and they'd say, hey, that's not the ministry for me. He's like, oh, okay. Did God tell you that? No. They're like, I just realized it's not for me. He's like, okay, got it. But the whole idea is we got to practice. We've got to practice with the unique design God gave us. We've got to practice making a difference. I'd encourage you, as we get in this new year, if you're not serving, if you're not making a difference, hey, take a step forward. A great way to do that is in January, we're going to start our Connect class. And that's kind of the entry point to get involved in all things serving. I'd encourage you to do that because in that class, you're going to find some of these questions that we asked, you're going to find more. You take a personality test. There's something there where in the past we've talked about spiritual gifts test. A lot of you don't even know. The Bible says that God's given you spiritual gifts. So God's done all of this because he wants you to make a difference for him. He's uniquely designed you to make a difference. Here's the last point. Last point's this. You can put it up. You can help someone else discover their uniqueness. You know, I remember the first time I heard these four words completely changed my mindset. And the idea is there's four words that are probably the four most impactful words that any of us could ever speak. And the words are these, I see in you. I see in you. The idea is when we have these conversations with people, and we tell them, hey, here's what I see in you. And then you fill in the blank. Here's what I see in you. I see greatness in you. And then fill in the blank. Here's how I see. Here's what I see inside of you. You know, the Bible says that the tongue has the power of life and death, doesn't it? And when we speak life into people, it's incredible what it can do. I remember my wife and I, we had just gotten married. We moved out to California. We were in the Bay Area, California. And I remember being out there and literally less than a year's time, we went out there to be youth pastors. And this was our first, you know, hurrah in full-time ministry. And within a year, our senior pastor left. The guy that I went out there to serve under left. Our executive pastor left and our children's pastor left. And I remember just feeling just so alone. And for one of the first times in my life, I wanted to quit. And I just remember telling God, I just want to quit. God, I'm just done. If this is what ministry is, I don't want to be a part of it. This is not what I expected. And I prayed all those prayers and God didn't give me anything. So for those of you that, you know, that think, God, you're not answering me, it's not just you, all right? God does things in his own way. That's why we're told to wait on the Lord. And that's why I struggle with patience sometimes. And maybe you do as well. And as I just continued to pray and ask God for insight, God brought a guy named Dr. Dresselhaus in my life. And he was the interim pastor at the time while we were looking for another pastor. And I remember him sitting me down and looking at me straight in the eyes and saying, Brandon, I want to tell you what I see in you. And he began to list things off. Brandon, I see you as a great leader. Brandon, I see you as one day leading a church. Brandon, I see you as being a strategian. Brandon, I see you as being a theologian. Brandon, I see. And he just started listing these things. And some of these things I had in my head and other things, I was like, man, am I that? It got me thinking. And not only that, he started sharing with me things. Brandon, because you're like this, you're going to need to watch out in life for this and this and this. And I'll never forget that moment. And in truth, it's probably one of the most impactful moments I've ever had in my life. And the reason I share that is because God has created us to have those moments with others, to speak life in others. Parents, I want to encourage you, before this day is over, think about what your children are gifted at. Think about how God made them unique. And then tell them, look them in the face with nothing but love and tell them, hey, I want to tell you, here's what I see in you. There's very few things more impactful than that. Grandparents, do the same to your grandchildren. There are very few things more impactful. And over the years, as I've talked to people, you know what I found? There are very few people who have ever had those type of moments. They're incredibly rare. And think about what would happen if we had these type of moments with people often. Boy, would God use us. It's incredible to think about. As we close this morning, I want to share with you a final story. It was probably about 3 years ago when I took over the community department here. And a part of it is the grocery giveaway. If you're not familiar with our grocery giveaway, it's where we give away literally hundreds of thousands of pounds of free food to our community. It's incredible. And a part of the event that a lot of people don't even know about is our registration team. Our registration team is amazing. And they're the ones that actually register the people who wait in the line to get the food. But because they're so far over, a lot of times people don't even know that they're over there. There was a guy named Jesus Gutierrez who was over there, and he was doing an incredible job. And we asked him, he was just, you know, he was volunteering his time, but we asked him to step up. And boy, did he step up. He took leadership, he took control. And why did he do that? Because God designed him unique. He had gifts of leadership. He had gifts of strategy. He was an idea guy. He's got a great personality. He was a great leader. And so every time we asked him for help, he continued to step up and up to the point where he was running the whole show by himself. And we had complete confidence in him because he was amazing. But God designed him that way to make a difference. And things were going great until about a year ago when we found out he wasn't going to be able to be a part of our grocery giveaway. And the reason was he was taken to the ICU. And at the ICU, he had a respiratory infection. In fact, it got so bad to where the doctors thought he wasn't going to make it. He was going to pass away. And Jesus told me that he was at the place where he was just expecting to die. Have you been at a place that low before? Man, it is scary. And he was in the hospital and he was feeling pretty much like death in that moment. But his family had hope. His family believed that God was greater, that God was stronger, like the song that we sang earlier. His family believed that God could do a miracle. They began to pray for him. And slowly but surely, he got better. He got better and better and better. In fact, the doctors to this day call him the miracle man. And I want to tell you, this last grocery giveaway, it was so special for so many reasons. But can I tell you one of the main reasons? Because Jesus was there leading that same team that he led before. I'll show you a picture. That's him down at the bottom. That right there is the goodness of God. But can I tell you this morning, it's not just Jesus. God's designed you to make a difference. He's intentionally, uniquely designed you to make a difference. And out of all the things we can do in life, making a difference is probably up there in terms of our fulfillment. But can I tell you, there's something that's even greater fulfilling. There's something that's far more. It's having a relationship with Jesus. Many of you have experienced this before. You know, the Bible says that God sent his son Jesus because God loved the world. And Jesus took away the sins of the world. And the Bible says that if you put your faith in him, your trust in Jesus, that he'll take away your sins. See, God's not mad at the world. In fact, God wants to restore the world. God wants to come back and have a relationship with you. But this thing that pushes us apart is sin. Because Jesus died on the cross, he's given us the ability to wipe out sin in our life and to be restored with God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? There may be some of you this morning that, if you were honest, you'd say, I'm not right with God. I came here today and maybe you want to be, but you're just not. I want to tell you, you're in a good place. This is a great day because God loves you and he wants to be right with you. For some of you this morning, maybe you used to be right with God a while back, and maybe 2018 has just been hard. And God invites you to come back and say, hey, I want to be right with you. God loves you. There may be some of you this morning that maybe you've never said yes to Jesus. Maybe you've always kind of pushed him away. You've heard about it, but you've never said yes. I'm going to tell you, this is your moment to make a choice to say, I want you in my life, God. I want to make you the Lord of my life. If any of those are you this morning, whether you want to say yes to God for the first time or you want to come back to God, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. And I encourage you, if the Lord's speaking in your heart, don't hold back, respond. I'm going to count to three. And if that's you, I'd encourage you, raise your hand. It'd be my honor to pray for you. Ready? 1, 2, 3. So that's me, Brandon. I'm going to get right with God. I want to say yes to Jesus. That's awesome. I'll give you just another moment. Hands are going up. Anyone else, you want to be a part of this prayer? That's awesome. Here's the last thing I'd ask. That's awesome. See those two hands. Last thing I'd ask you is this. As we get ready to get into this new year, if you say, Brandon, I want to make a difference for God this year, would you pray for me? If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand? It'd be my honor to pray for you. Say, Brandon, I'm going to make a difference this year for God. I'm going to believe he's going to use my design to do something great for him. That's awesome. So many hands going up. Here's what we're gonna do together. We're gonna pray together. And I just ask that you repeat this prayer after me. Say this with me. Dear God, I know mankind needs a savior. And I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my savior, as the one who forgives me and the one who restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven and I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Now let me pray for you. God, thank you so much. Out of all the things that I said today, Lord, what stands in my heart right now is how incredible you are, Lord, because you have the ability to take our lives when we make these detours and to take us back and put us on the right path. And God, there's no one else on earth that can do that except for you. And you do it because of your great love for us. Thank you, God. Thank you for how much you love us. God, as we get ready to get into this brand new year, God, we want it to be a year that honors you, God. And we're not just going to say that with our mouths, Lord, but we're going to back it up with our lives. God, you designed us to make a difference. And this year, I pray, God, as we spend the rest of our lives learning more about ourselves and our uniqueness and how you created us in the design, God, that you made us with, help us to make a greater difference every year. God, in 2019, I believe and I speak it out, Lord, that it's going to be a great year, that you're going to use us to do something great for you, God, that we will be fulfilled, God, because we are honoring you. Thank you, God. What a privilege it is to serve you, Lord. We pray these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.